Hey everyone, it's Jesse Gasparo. This is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me, as always, Jesse Baptiste.
Hi guys.
And we got Peter Campbell.
Hello.
So, question today is, how do Christians navigate the challenges of living a faith-based life in a secular society? Very good question. I'll open in prayer, and then Peter, if you want to lead us off. Our God and Father, we give you thanks once again for this opportunity. We give you thanks for this question. We just pray, give us wisdom and grace as we seek to use your word to answer it. And we just pray that you would give us help, that it would not just be information, but actually be something that we can live out here. We just pray for whoever asked this question. And we just are thankful for the many who have asked questions and submitted questions to us. We just pray, give us grace and help as we go forward tonight. Commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So what stood out to me first when reading the question is kind of how. What the secular world is all about, kind of what that actually means to each one of us. It's a term we might just say, that word secular, but what kind of is the focus of the world we live in? And some things that stood out to me were it's kind of selfish, first of all, things that a lot of people kind of want to prove themselves, show their own worth, whether it's in jobs or whatever it might be, some way to make yourself stick out from everyone else, kind of putting yourself first. And that might lead to putting others down or other things like that in order to boost yourself up somehow. And the other part that goes along with that is kind of making yourself appear better than you might be. So it's kind of a false appearances sometimes. So these are kind of the things that stood out to me. And when thinking about the secular world, those two things in particular, if we contrast them to what we have as Christians in the faith that we have, it really is real. It's not something that is just something that we throw around lightly, or we take something and we try and make it into something that it's not. It's we have this faith in the one who saved us and created the entire universe. And the second point being that because of our faith, we have faith in the Lord. And because of that, we're not relying on ourselves. We're not trying to make ourselves look better than everyone else. Faith requires humility in that sense. So kind of just some thoughts to get us going to start off, but those are kind of the things that stood out to me, how the world views things and how those things are contrasted when we're talking about faith as Christians.
First reading the question, the kind of thing I was thinking about is what you mentioned, like how do we define the word secular society, or even, you know, what's the definition of that compared to, because really this challenge of how do we navigate the challenges of living a faith-based life in a secular society, that's been the challenge Christians have had since the very beginning of Christianity. You know, whatever the society is that you're living in is secular to that time, right? That worldly society, whether it was other faiths, other belief systems, or whether it's now where it's the lack of belief, you know, science is sort of atheism and agnosticism is almost a belief unto itself. So it's really it's been something that's a challenge for Christians throughout our lineage, you know, you could say. And so that one of the answers is like, just read the Bible. And it's not, that's, you know, kind of not the, not really the answer, but you can see the challenges, and the world changes, but it doesn't really change, right? There's this, the elements of what consists in the world remain the same. And like you pointed out, and so scripture is our guide, right? And that's going to be the resource. We can see how early Christians navigated some of these challenges, and what they were encouraged to do, how they were encouraged to live is going to be very similar, right? So the apostles and what they taught, the elements in the are still there, even though society might change, the elements of what make up society and what defines the secular society and the world don't really change.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you said, society hasn't changed. I mean, it's the same from 1 John, and I was mentioning this before, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the world is built on, and that's what it continues to, I mean, the medium changes, but it's still that premise. And so my thing is, if you want to live a faith-based life in a secular world, you have to be careful what's on your diet, right? Like, for instance, I have diabetes, right? I can't be eating all these cookies and sugars and all this candies. And I mean, I love them. I love them. I mean, I love ice cream. I love everything that's not good for me. I love it, right? But I have to come to the point and say, it's not good for me. It's not good for me. And that's what the Bible says. Pleasure of sin is for a season, right? It says it's pleasurable, but it's pleasure of sin is for a season. That it has its ramifications, right? So I can eat all the ice cream and all the sugar I want, but it's going to wreck my body, right? And later on, you know, it'll have its ramifications. That's what's happening with social media. And that's what I think a big thing that you have to fast, you have to be careful what's on your dieting, is social media. I mean, that's the big thing of this world today. The two big things is your phone and social media, right? And those are the two things that you have to be careful as a Christian, because the enemy's using these mediums to kind of, like, you know, thwart us, right? And so I think if you want to live a faith-based life, you have to be careful what your intake is, what you're intaking, right? All that's on social media is pride of life. Look at me. All is, you know, lust of the flesh, right? I mean, you see scanty clad people all over, right? I mean, they're doing all kind of things. And then the lust of the eyes, right? I mean, they make you want what they have, right? I mean, as Peter was saying, is that it's a mirage, right? It's like they make it seem like they have all this thing, and it's not really real, right? And so you know, these are things that I think you have to be careful if you want to live a faith-based life, is that you have to focus on, you know, on the Lord, and, you know, build a foundation there and try to get away from, from these different mediums.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about faith-based, the difficult part of it is it's not something that's always tangible that you can handle, right? In society, things always look so appealing, and it's there in front of you, like you were saying, the eyes. It's how we take everything in. It's how we view everything, and everything that's out there is made to entice our eyes to try and to achieve that status, or to get that item that other people have, or something like that. The difficult part is with faith is that it's not always right there in front of us. It takes effort. It takes just being able to rely on what we believe in. Right, that's kind of what faith boils down to, if we don't always have it. visible. I was kind of brought to the book, the chapter one of James, kind of think about that a little bit when talking about this, how we are to have this faith and we're to trust on the Lord. And there are things we can ask for, and we are to trust that he would provide what we need. If we don't consider to be double-minded, we have two different souls inside of us almost. But that is the challenge. So how do we navigate those challenges? Again, it does boil down to reading the word and praying, being in communication with the Lord. That's the simple answer, but kind of working through those challenges, that is what it is. It's not always clear to us sometimes, the direction we need to go, and it's that reliance that we need to have, and kind of the giving up of our own, whether it's ambitions or whatever it is, just being able to rely on him, for direction, among other things in our daily lives.
It's almost more challenging to have a question like this that has such a broad scope than to have a more specific question, right? Because when you just say, what are the challenges, or how do we navigate the challenges, it's very broad. And so oftentimes that cookie cutter answer, read your Bible and pray, is like, it's sort of the go-to. And it's true, right? We need to be in the Word of God and be in prayer. And the whole premise, right, of even this podcast is that we believe the Word of God is living and operative. It's still, it's a living book, and that it's still applicable to any circumstance we find ourselves in today, just as much as it was applicable when it was written, right? And so the Bible, we can use the Word of God to apply it to any situation we find ourselves in. And so that's one of the core things. But this question and sort of navigating that faith-based life, right? My mind goes to Hebrews 11, right? We said the core elements of the world haven't changed, right? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all of those, they're still there, right? It has nicer, sort of more advanced, the dressing is different, right? Yeah. It's got a fancier coat on now than it did back then. The access to things is easier and more available, but everything, the elements are still there, right? Like humanity hasn't changed. Our hearts haven't changed. And so that's the same. And so you can read the Hebrews 11 and you see the challenges that Moses had to deal with, right? That there was the pleasures of sin, right? You talked about pleasures of sin for a season. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He valued the reproach of Christ, the greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, right? So he had this faith-based pathway. We have a different value system than the world does, right? And so when these challenges come, when these offers, right, the pleasures of sin, he was offered so much, but he chose rather to he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? Like his identity was different than what the world was offering him, and he chose to be reckoned with the people of God than to be considered part of the world, part of the system that he was in. And so that's part of it. You also have, right, there's trials from without, and then there's also like testings. Like you read Abraham, right? He was tested, and that was testing from God, and he was faithful. So there's going to be periods of testing in our life and challenges on that side that God is refining us. There's also going to be challenges externally that are from the world. And so you see both, and you see they both moved in faith. And then you go through, right? There's all these men and women of faith who were able to endure things, who were able to go through such difficult trials and challenges. And God was providing something better for them. They were given vision forward, right? That's what faith does. Faith gives us a view of something that's outside of ourselves. And so that's that's the challenge, right? Like the world, just the secular world, especially today's society, the focus is on like, the only thing that's real is what's in front of you, right? Mm. There's nothing that's coming after. There's no, once you die, that's it. So just enjoy everything, you know, enjoy whatever pleasure you can find. And that's not what faith does. Faith points us that there's something past this and that there's something that is beyond what we're seeing with our physical eyes. And so then that all transitions into Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, right? Like there's a race here. We're on a path and we're supposed to run our race with endurance. So the challenge is that everything we face, we need to have endurance. And the way we have that is we look unto Jesus, right? We have to set aside all the weights and all the sins, everything that's going to tangle us and prohibit and inhibit us and hold us back. We got to set all that stuff aside and just have our eyes on Jesus. And this is very easy to talk about when I'm sitting in the comfort of my own home and telling it to someone else, right? Maybe you're going through something really challenging right now. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Maybe it's something you're struggling with. Whatever it is, it's so hard to accept this stuff from someone else, right? When they're not going through, or maybe they don't even really understand what your challenge is right now. But these are God's words, right? So this is the Spirit of God. These are like just telling us what to do, right? And this is the answer. It's so hard to like take that truth and internalize it. But that's what we're called to do, right? Faith is hard. It's so much easier to just go aside and just live in the moment and just try to enjoy the pleasures of sin, right? Because there's pleasure there, right? It says that it's pleasurable, even though it's temporary. But the goal is to be able to see that greater reward, right? The greater riches are the reproach of Christ. And it says Moses, look to the reward, right? So there's something future, right? There's something right in the now, but there's something future.
Yeah, I mean, I wanna go to Hebrews 10, and I think in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And I want to tie that to what you were saying, because it's basically saying that, you know, you have to trust in me, right? And that's what the world wants you to believe, that you're doing this on your own, right? And that you have to achieve and you have to do this, and it's like almost like it puts you into a rat race, or had to like a carrot in front of you, and you feel depressed if you don't meet that goal, or if you don't get that promotion, or if you don't go on that vacation, or these people have this or think. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I think what happens is that the world today makes you not appreciate what you have. And we have to believe that everything that we have comes from God, right? And I think to live a faith-based life, you have to believe that God wants the best for you, right? And you have to believe that within your heart, that he wants the best for you. And we always know, we always read that, you know, the just shall live by faith, you know, the plans that I have for you, you know, all these verses that we bring up. But it's real, it's true. And I think the first thing we should wake up and talk about prayer to make it practical is that we should wake up in the morning and give God thanks. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for this roof overhead. Thank you for this food on my table. Thank you for this job. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my children. Thank him. The problem is that the world is conditioning our minds not to be thankful, to always look and say, well, somebody has something better, or like God doesn't want the best for you, right? God wants the best for you. He's giving you his best. He's providing for us. And I think we're conditioned to always feel that there's something better out there. The grass is greener. And I think that's, we have to be rooted in the belief that God wants the best for us and he's giving us his best. I mean, he came down and died for us. I mean, more than that, he provides for us daily. I mean, like, I've never been hungry. I mean, like, I can say that. I know that it's been tough times, right? But God has always provided. And I think we have to have that rooted down in our faith, that not only that he loves us, but he wants the best for us. And I think that's one of the things that we can change our thinking, you know, renewing our minds in a sense. of the world is trying to condition us in this way with the different things with the social media. Because we look at social media and, you know, we're human beings, right? You see somebody have this and you're like, well, you know, and they want you to make you believe that every 20-year-old kid is running a startup and making millions of dollars. And what am I doing with my life, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and they try to make you feel this way and like, oh, I've lost out. But God still loves you and he has the best for you.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that we're not going through this alone, right? And that's part of what faith is, that we have someone who's, you know, has these plans for us and he's watching over us and he can direct us in the ways we need to go. But I think part of navigating this world too is while we're here on earth, we shouldn't have to do it alone either, right? We have fellow Christians, we have each other in order to be able to share in these struggles. It's very difficult and loneliness can feel very overwhelming if you do try and take it all on your own. That's why fellowship is so important, and having someone you can share things with is very important. It will make all these things will seem to be overwhelming if you don't have someone to share with and someone to others. Maybe it's a group, maybe it's, you know, we go to the same gathering together, we're able to share with each other in these things. And that is something I agree, Jesse, that the world does want to do sometimes. They want to take you in, they want to entice you with all these things, but when it doesn't work, or maybe you don't stack up to where everyone else looks like they are, it'll make you feel very, very low and very small, when really it's not the case. So that kind of goes back to the reality of things too, right? Being able to focus on what's real, what we know the facts are, rather than getting caught up in these mirages, like you said, these false faces, and being able to kind of just keep trying to keep up with everyone else when it's really not what our purpose is down here.
I was also thinking of 2 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And then it tells us, so we've been given everything we need to live a life of godliness. And we've been equipped, right? We've been given all the tools. And then it says, like, he's given us very great and precious promises, that through them we've been partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. And then if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's like, okay, so what do I do, right? I have everything I need. The Bible tells me that, right? So that's just a statement of fact, right? Every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the tools they need to live a godly life here of faith. And so whatever the challenges are, God's given us the tools. He's given us what we need, right? It's not within ourselves. He's provided the things we need. And so to our faith, we have to add. It's not just, we don't just sit back and like let God do the work. It's like he's given you what you need, but also here's things for you to do, right? To add to your faith, things to build your character, goodness and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, mutual affection, love. So there's things that we can be working on as well through these challenges. And, you know, if we possess these qualities, we're going to be fruitful here. We're going to be able to navigate the challenges, and we're going to be able to kind of have these things. And it says, you know, later in that section, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make them sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. So the challenge I always find with passages like this is, like, I know it up here in my mind. Right. But, like, it's hard sometimes to have this knowledge up here and have it kind of trickle down into my heart and to, like, have it feel real and be realized. And it's like the Christian pathway, it's sometimes hard knowing the truth of Scripture and experiencing the truth of Scripture. And I think that's sometimes a challenge. And I think that's the challenge, right? Like, I know things. Like, I know things from the Word of God, but sometimes in life the challenges are hard. And sometimes it's hard to reconcile, like, the things I know that are true in Scripture and what I'm feeling right now. And so that's the challenge here, and that's the encouragement for us, right? To make these things sure, like, confirm your calling and your election, to, like, understand what God has done for you and what He's brought you into and who you are now through the work of Christ. And that's something, like, that's the foundation. Because if you have that, you're never going to stumble, right? It says that, like, if you have those things, you're never going to stumble. And you're going to be able to walk and navigate this path and navigate these challenges and navigate all of this because you have the foundation and you have that, like, stabilizing factor to understand who you are and to understand what Christ has done for you, what you've been brought into, to really appreciate those things. And then there's things we can do. Like, God has given us things to do to work on our character and to help us as we go forward. Such a such an difficult question. It's so easy to talk about this stuff, right? Yeah. But it's and it's so easy to, like, just stand on the, you know, and tell people these things. But I'm saying this stuff to myself too. Like, am I doing these things? Yeah. It's so easy to just kind of, like, you're not. You're kind of just flowing. You know, you're going in the flow of the of your path, and you're not actually, like, actively working, right? Like, actually, faith is it's a job, right? Like, Christianity is a job. It's not something we just sit and let happen to us. God has given us things to do. God is actively working on us, and He's calling us to do things as well. And so I really appreciate the question. Thank you to whoever asked it. We really appreciate the questions. Just want to thank you both for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being patient as I was, like, 15 minutes late for this. But I appreciate you guys. Just want to thank everyone who prays for this podcast. Keep praying for us and just keep us, that the Lord would use this platform to encourage and to help us in our pathway. And God bless everybody.
All right, God bless. Take care.